and join with me in the prayer for understanding God's word. Holy One, giver of life and light, as your word is read and proclaimed, illumine our hearts and minds, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives may reflect God's glory. Amen. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory, because their shame was double, and the dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore you shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who shall see acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice, my whole being shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm thankful to our sister in Christ, and Sandy does a great job, doesn't she? I mean, she really does a wonderful job, and I'm grateful to her. And her Christmas socks today have cacti that are decorated as Christmas cacti. So I just wanted you to notice that, okay? So ask to see her socks after church today. Go ahead and ask her that. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you speak into our lives. We thank you for grace. We thank you for joy. We thank you for your love. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. There is a movie that's going to be coming out very soon about the story, the life story of Louis Zamperini. And he was a runner in the Olympics. He was also a World War II veteran. And during World War II, he not only survived 47 days in a raft at sea. 47 days. Think about that the next time you're standing in the return line at Walmart, okay? 47 days. Let that sink in. Not only that, but then he survived 2 years as a prisoner of war. We understand from the movie, wrestled with addiction and marriage. His marriage almost dissolved after all of this trauma. It's understandable. But that all changed in 1949 when he attended a Los Angeles revival crusade by an evangelist you may have heard of, Billy Graham, a guy, you know, slightly known in the world, in history. And later on, both he and Billy Graham teamed up and they worked crusades together. One of the phrases, now in the movie, his faith and his conversion and the centrality of his faith in his life is not necessarily a center point. Okay, I'll just warn you about that. But in real life, his faith is central. His conversion is central. His belief in God, his saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ is central to his life. It's key. It's the cornerstone. From the book that was written, we learn that. But there's a particular phrase that he learned early on. And today I wanted to share it with you. And it really serves any of us that ever struggle, any of us that ever seek to be open to God, any of us that are seeking to humble ourselves and follow God first in our lives. If I can take it, I can make it. If I can take it, I can make it. Now understand, this man was extraordinary and an extraordinary witness of a life of faith, service, and grace. And he is now becoming much more widely known to a larger audience. But for each of us, grace also speaks into our lives. And there are some times that we simply are enduring. Okay? I'd like to say it otherwise. But sometimes in our life, we are simply enduring. And we are simply trying to make it through. If I can make it, if I can take it, I can make it. God, the God of resurrection, the God of hope, the God of healing, the God of power and unending grace, is the God who is at work in those times and in every moment. And we're thankful that that God is at work in this time and in this place today. Now, it's not because we are here gathered at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church that God is at work, okay? Because God is at work other places as well. I love all of you. And you know who loves you more? Pretty good, kids. Nice job. But God's at work all around His creation and all around His world and in all of His people. So God is at work outside of this place right now, at work in powerful and sustaining ways. But here, the thing that we are called to remember is that we are not somehow privileged. We are not somehow above anyone else. We are in the midst of God changing things. And the words of Isaiah were spoken to a people who needed to hear that. We hear them again today, needing to be reminded of it. It was a broken people, okay, that Isaiah was speaking to. And this is at the end of the book of Isaiah. If you look it up, you read it again, it's at the end of the book of Isaiah. But it is a clarion call, a wake-up call of God being at work in the lives of people who have had to endure, of people who have been challenged, of people who have wondered if God still cared about them. This is a reminder that God says, I still know you by name. and I have exciting things in the works. Jesus would share these words later on in the temple, reading from the scroll of Isaiah, when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Jesus is saying these words, echoing this wake-up call from Isaiah to people wondering if God was still at work. "Because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, in essence, Jesus is getting people's attention, but he's also giving his job description, isn't he? Read those words again. Think about what he's saying there. God is the author of life, but Jesus is the physical manifestation, the earthly presence of God, sharing this is what is already happening. This is already taking place. I'd mentioned earlier about an easy chair faith, okay? Anybody here know what I'm talking about whenever I say easy chair? Do you know what an easy chair is? Okay? Do you have a favorite place that you like to go that seems to elicit napping, things like that, dozing off, snoring? I'm told that I snore. I don't believe it, but I've been told that. You know, do you have a place like that? Okay, and you like to go there, and that's it, and everything is shut off. All right? Don't have to think about anything, worry about anything, and you're just completely at ease. Now, it's okay to be in those places, but we can't stay in those places because God is at work. And if we claim to be his people, then we are going to be channels of God being at work. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? We are going to be called upon. God is going to be at work in and through us, whether we like it or not, and we're going to like it. But it's also going to be a challenge, because there are going to be times whenever God asks us to be with someone, to be ministering, to do something, to be in a place that we might find uncomfortable or out of our easy chair zone, okay? God is going to pull us out of those places and call us to be his representatives. And God does that through his grace. Flannery O'Connor, who was an author, once wrote this to a friend, and this is about that challenging grace that God works in our lives when God pulls us out of our comfort zone. He wrote these words, "All human nature vigorously resists grace because grace changes us and the change is painful." Whenever God changes us from being self-centered, whenever God changes us from only looking out for number one, when God changes us from our worldview being simply what we can see, when God stretches us, is sometimes that uncomfortable? Yes, it is. And that's okay. Whenever we're exercising and straining muscles and growing, hopefully not straining something too much, going through rehabilitation, recovering from a surgery, things like that, it's not pleasant, but in the end, it strengthens us. God's grace is very much like that, strengthening us for the long haul. It might not be about instant gratification, but you know, God is eternal, forever. God's time frame and schedule is much different than ours. And so isn't it wonderful that God's grace is working in us in ways that we can't even imagine? You can't imagine how much God loves you and is at work in your life right now. So that grace challenges us. And that grace challenges us to be part of a mission that is reaching out, that is willing to be stretched. but that grace also causes us to be very honest about the difference between happiness and joy. Okay? This third Sunday of Advent is all about joy. We sang Joy to the World. We sang all the verses, and that made me happy. But happiness is more than simply our enjoyment. Now, you can have a nice big piece of pumpkin pie. Imagine that along with me, okay? Everybody seen pumpkin pie? Everybody know what I'm talking about? And you can have an inordinate amount of whipped topping on top of it, okay? Enough that you can make a crater in the whipped topping. You still with me? And then you can pour honey in that crater on top of that. I'm talking about gilding the lily here. Smacking our lips. Isn't that delicious? That's good stuff, isn't it? Wonderful stuff. And you eat that and you have nice, heavy, thick coffee that you could carry around in your pocket and chew on all day. And you eat that, and it's not going to last forever. I mean, the sugar buzz and the caffeine might last forever, but that's happiness. That's going to fade away, okay? That's going to be done and gone. You're going to forget about it. Joy is something that is lasting. And joy is lasting because it's from God. You get it? The things from God are lasting. The things from God are enduring. The things from God do not fade away. And joy is one of those gifts from God. But being open to God's grace, developing an awareness of God's presence and developing a discernment of being able to see God in surprising places and in surprising ways, that grace helping us to grow, that grace that stretches us also, and that grace that helps us to experience God's joy, okay? That peace and that love and those things that help us to get through the difficult times, that sometimes also faces us with those things that are the most challenging in our lives. Grace has us face the relationships that are severed. Grace has us face the addictions that are hidden. Grace has us face the violence that is barely domesticated. Grace has us face the depression that is denied. Grace has us face the affair that is raging. Grace has us face the self-loathing cut deep into the flesh, the greed, the hatred, and the fear. None of those things seem to necessarily go with grace, but grace helps us to face those things head on so that we can name them to God, release them, and lay them at the foot of the throne. So we don't have to carry those things anymore. We no longer have to be defined by those things that are deeply hidden, but rather only and simply by God's grace, and then we can truly, truly be people of joy. So the work of grace is a challenge at times. Isaiah knew it. Jesus knew it. And we understand that as well today. Joy, that candle of joy. We sing out joy to the world. And joy to the world actually is probably a hymn that we could sing every month, right? Can we schedule that every month, maybe? We can do that. We can sing that every month because it's not just something to be sung at Advent or Christmas. It's something that reminds us of God speaking in real ways, in ways that encourage us and allow us to grow safely, knowing that God, as we are open and as we are humble and vulnerable before Him, God will not let us be broken either. There are two questions during Advent that are similar, that are related. How's the Advent or God breaking into our lives, God speaking into our lives, God's fingerprints all over our lives, how's the Advent of God trying to come into my life, into my world? That's the first question. The second question is, what do I need to do to prepare for God's advent. Another way of asking these is through this question. What do I need to change in order to allow God's transformation to take place in me and ultimately in the world? You see, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, is not simply on Isaiah. It's not simply on our namesake and our Savior Jesus. It is on each and every brother and sister in Christ here. That is grace. That is something to sing joy to the world about. God's Spirit at work in our lives. The prophet Isaiah said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." The psalmist, "Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy." And the apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, "Rejoice always, never stop." Now, if you had to spend time with somebody who was rejoicing always, would it get on your nerves? Let's be honest, just you and me right here, maybe, yeah, possibly. But rejoicing in a different way, that peace that we have, knowing, God, you're never going to forget my name. You're never going to let me go. Here's a statement about grace that I loved. Grace means that all of your mistakes serve a purpose instead of serving shame. Let me read it again. Grace means that all of your mistakes serve a purpose instead of serving shame. There's a lot of joy in that, isn't there? Praise God for that joy. It's wonderful that we would understand grace a bit more. We would understand that the joy is not simply about happiness, and that there are those that are going to be stepping forward right now to join this congregation that are giving witness to that. They're seeking to point to God in their service, in their lives, and in joy, in a deep joy. So I'd ask that Nate Welsh, Sharon Cunningham, Ann Gerdes, Russell, and Jan Hamar, and Evelyn Mitchell step forward at this time. Why don't you stand right there? And speaking of great-looking hats, you know, I feel kind of funny standing, so I'm going to stand right here. Why don't you face everybody, okay? All right. I'm going to sit down so my big head's out of the way. All of you, as you've been through a journey in life, as you've been through the difficult times, challenging times, but as you seek to be continually real, and open to God, and open to His grace, and His grace changing you. You're willing to now add your lives to this body of Christ. We want to thank you for that. Are you going to be continually open to God's grace? Are you going to seek to be people of real joy? Are you going to lift up the name of Jesus above all names? And are you going to be open to God's Holy Spirit at work in your lives? If so, please respond with, Amen. We welcome each and every one of you into this community of faith, and we celebrate God at work in your journey. Thank you.